coming up on TMS. Nerdtacular has just one tiny request.
How good are you at training your dragon now?
Bill Gates blew everyone's mind with one of his tweets.
Mad Cow is really mad.
Kasem finally signed off for the last time.
Aw, Trebek is the longest running host ever, and Sajak is not happy about it.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's the case of Mr. Joseph G. Hertzberg, city editor of one of New York's great newspapers, and this is his actual signed statement.
I recommend Fatimas to anyone who likes a king-size cigarette. In my business, the long hours really put smoking to the test. Working overtime means smoking overtime, and that has sold me on Fatimas. No matter how often I light up, Fatima gives me an extra mild smoke. And Fatima flavor, it's much better every time. I found out it's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
You will agree.
A delicious part of your nutritious breakfast. This is the Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to what should be the beginning of a fine week of the Morning Stream shows.
Should be. You don't sound very confident.
Might be. I feel like, you know, things are heating up. I feel like things are getting real busy around here. And yeah. I think it should be. I mean, here's the great thing about this show. In a weird way, so it has two effects for me. Mm-hmm. In a weird way, it's, you know, you get up and it kind of starts your day the way you want it to, right?
Right.
But by the end of it, you feel like you've done a big thing. And there are days where I still want to do anything else, you know?
Oh, after this.
After a hard TM, not a hard TMS. They're never hard, but you know what I mean? Like, you get done and go, whew, that was a lot of work. And now I can just, I have 1,000 other things to do. Okay. God, that sounds fun.
So true. It is totally. Yeah.
There's a lot going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we go anywhere,
yeah,
I forgot to tell you in the opener about this thing, and I think I should share it.
Okay, all right.
I was hug-judged yesterday.
Hug-judged?
I guess it'd be better to say judge-hugged.
Hugged? I don't know. How would you?
Judged or jugged. I've been jugged. So, all right. It has nothing to do with Judge Reinhold.
I got jugged at Nerdtacular a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
before
you did.
Tank Girl.
Oh, yes, you did. So yesterday I'm at a family get together for Father's Day, and my mother-in-law came. Or no, my mother-in-law was there, and we're all hanging out. Everybody's talking and doing whatever, and it's all fine. Everyone's having a good time. It was a hot dog bar is the food. So Kim made this like crazy gourmet hot dog bar, and I had turkey dogs. Because I can't do the pork anymore, or I don't want to anyway, so that's what I had.
Yeah, like it's all pork in those hot dogs.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm not even sure it's all turkey in the turkey ones.
Right.
I can tell you the turkey ones shrink weirdly. Everything else plumped and like stuff on the grill, the turkey ones shrink like to little, like almost like a Slim Jim. It was really weird.
Right, they get all wrinkly and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a...
They look like the hot dogs that have been rolling back and forth on the conveyor belt at the 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Severed hobo penis is what I like to refer to them as. So everything was fine. Everything was going great. And then toward the end of the night, I go to hug my mother-in-law like you do. And I go, oh, it's good to see you. She goes, we love you. I go, we love you guys too. And she goes, and then she holds me like death grip and says into my ear, she says this, are you being a good boy? And I said... I said, yeah, why? And she goes, I heard one of your shows.
Oh, no.
And I said, which show? She goes, I don't know, but I couldn't get past the first line. And I said, what do you mean you couldn't get past the first line? I'm saying this into her ear. And she says, you said the H-E-double-L-L word. And I went, and then, okay, now everyone's around us now. Okay. So
right,
I go.
Right. They're probably watching, like, you know, what...
And I said, I'm being hugged and I'm being judged. I started yelling that to everybody around me.
I'm looking back at the openers for TMS for the last week.
I don't even know if it was this show. Like, who knows? I don't even know. I don't know what it would have been. She must have just clicked play on something. But I don't know what it would have been or where I would have started the whole line, though. Something, what the hell? You know, like I must have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she hug judged me. And then toward the end of it, I said, "You guys, I'm being hugged. You know, I'm acting like I'm, you know, it's just some terrible thing, and someone needs to free me from this because I'm trying to be funny. Otherwise, I'm super irritated because it's like, hello, I'm 44. I can say hell. I can say it anytime I want. This, your job is done. It ended a while ago. In fact, it never started with me because you're not my mom. And I love my mother-in-law. She's a wonderful lady.
Of course.
Right? But when she does stuff like this, and it's every once in a while, she'll do something like this. Like the one time that she, my daughter was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. She brought her book with her. Mm-hmm. And she goes, what are you reading? And she goes, oh, it's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's really fun and really interesting. It's a lot. There's a lot of cool science and stuff in there. And I said, yeah, we love that book. I bought it for her. We love it. Blah, blah, blah. She goes, well, that's great. But, you know, you could spend a little more time in your Bible. That was her answer.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, so this happens, all right? Okay. We're used all to right. it. We're used to the judge hugging. It was, that one didn't even involve a hug, but I was really mad at her then. So I love my mother-in-law. And if you're listening now, mother-in-law, two things I want to say. I love you. Stop. Three things. I love you. Stop doing that. And hell, 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 hell. That's the three things I wanted to tell you. All right, Brian, it's the morning stream for Monday, June 16th, 2014. And we're here and we're doing it and we got stuff to do. I have a giant disclaimer I need to get out there in the wild.
All right.
This regards Nerdtacular 2014.
Oh, that's coming up this year, isn't
coming
it?
Coming right up, yeah. Yeah, it'll be here in 2 weeks, two and a half weeks, right? Hold on. Is it two and a half? Three?
It is 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks. I mean, basically.
Basically 3 weeks.
It was 3 weeks 2 days ago.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Let's say 2.5. Let's say 2.5 weeks.
So soon. All right. So anyway, that's coming right up.
Not prepared.
As people are aware, at convention spaces all over the country, not just here, everywhere, they have usually some relatively strict guidelines in place when it comes to their adherence to their liquor license that they have, so they can serve liquor on the premises, right? So they can serve booze, as some would call it. I mean, all of this is
fire water.
Fire water, right? Hooch. What else? Was there another word?
The devil's drink.
The devil's drink. All that stuff. We want to make sure, just to remind everybody, because they're reminding us, please do not bring a bunch of booze in with you. There is tons there to get. Do not load your car up with booze and bring it to the event, because that puts them, as it would any convention space with a liquor license, in jeopardy of losing said license. That's how that works. So, don't.
But fireworks are okay.
Don't bring those either.
But crystal meth is just fine.
Wrong. All of these are bad.
Hookers, bring them to the snowbird.
So really, honestly, that's all it comes down to, is we are trying to play nice, and we want them to. We don't want to be the reason that they have some giant, you know, falling out with the Utah State Liquor people, whoever they are, alliance, or what are they called, whatever they are, the people in each of your states.
Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Liquor.
Right, exactly. So it's that's all it is. And, you know, remember, this is a place that hosts. They host Oktoberfest every year. So they know how a bunch of German people, or those pretending to be them, like to get drunk. They know all about it, and they are there to provide and serve. But bringing yours in is bad news. So don't bring that in. Don't bring fireworks either, please, because we live in a state that always, when the fourth rolls around, things get dry, you know.
I hope people know that I was kidding. No fireworks.
Yeah, Brian's kidding. And the hooker part, totally kidding. Yeah. Now, some of you may be working the poll. I don't know. And if that's true, you're welcome to be here. But
Now, those are strippers.
Oh,
Scott.
Those
aren't necessarily prostitutes.
Oh, I need to get that straight then in my head. Yes. Okay, great.
I didn't spend 4 years at stripper school for you to call me a prostitute.
Now, from now, that piece of paper hanging on your wall, hard earned, that thing.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Other than that, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Snowbird, man. Yeah. We're doing it. It's going to be great. And you can drink. There's plenty to drink up there, guys.
Yeah,
if you drink, there's plenty.
What? The drink prices up at the area are not too bad. They will make the bad man fly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they'll do. Ask Dills. He knows. I saw How to Train Your Dragon 2. sequel. And I got to tell you, that movie is awesome. Like, I really liked the first one. And at that time said these words. I said out loud, I think this was just prior to our show starting. Wasn't it? 2010 mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah. It was,
I had said at that time, and I stand by it, that that movie was the first DreamWorks movie to go toe-to-toe with the best of what Pixar has to offer. And I feel like every other DreamWorks thing kind of paled in comparison. How to Train Your Dragon really did sort of nail a new high water mark for that company, right?
Right.
Loved it. I was worried a sequel would be too sequel-y and ruin it, you know? Like a Shrek kind of effect. The Shrek effect, let's call it. And I was real concerned about that. My concerns have been shoved to the side and put in their place, man, because that movie is rad. If you want to feel like playing, like the minute you watch that movie, the second the thing starts, you're like, ooh, I want to go play video games. I want to go play an RPG. I want to play World of Warcraft right now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because it just has that vibe to it. And the first one did too. But this is so good, you guys. What a cool freaking movie. I'm not giving anything away. I don't want to spoil any of it. It's awesome.
You really should go see 22 Jump Street.
Do we own that?
Yeah, we own that
I didn't know we owned that. That's doing really well, too.
It is doing really well, actually. Yeah, it's number one in the box office.
It edged out Dragon 2, I think.
It did, yeah.
That was just less family fare for me and the kids, so we didn't go see that. see 22 Jump Street.
And then sneak in after you've bought your ticket for 22 Jump Street. Walk out of that theater.
Right. Who owns that? Do we remember who owns that? I don't know. I think Slash Film or somebody owns it.
I could tell you. Let's see here.
Or maybe The Good Father owns it. I forget. He always ends up with the kids' movies.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 is owned by God's Money Bags. Yep.
Okay. So, Padre, good luck to you.
Ooh, bought it for $40. We got 22 Jump Street for $18.
See?
So.
Steal, I think.
Yeah,
that movie's going to do. The first movie creamed it, so this one should do well. but I if you want to feel just raw, adventurous emotion, just an awesome movie. So good. So much fun. I felt like I was 12 years old, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
My kids were in tears during part of it. Bald. You know how Carter gets. Just cried her eyes out. Real touching moment there in the middle of that thing. It's fantastic. You shouldn't waste no time. Go see it.
Cool. I think I'll go see it.
One other thing I gotta mention. Gosh dang it! I almost forgot about this.
What else are you gonna mention?
Okay, I'm not gonna say who said it because I don't want to ruffle any more feathers than I already have today.
Okay.
Family feathers, if you know what I mean.
Yes, right.
A member of my extended family said this to me yesterday. We're just having a conversation. He goes, "Hey Scott. Yeah." You know how blacks are afraid of snakes and lizards? And it wasn't.
I think you're thinking of Indiana Jones.
He wasn't kidding. It was asked that matter of factly. You know, and he didn't say black people.
Right.
He didn't say African Americans.
Right. This is the weirdest stereotype I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like, he said, "You know how blacks are afraid of lizards and snakes?" That's what he said to me.
You know how Jews like Twinkies?
And I go, "What?" Like, they are? But then I thought, well, okay, I'll listen to this. And it was all just in reference to that old viral video, the old YouTube video of the news anchor and a lizard jumping out of the hands of some person
right,
and him going,
yes.
bap, 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 like, and falling over and trying to get it off his thing.
Right.
I don't know if he means that he is now assuming that all black people are afraid of snakes and lizards because of that video, like that's what educated him, or if there was some prior knowledge and that just proves his point.
Right.
I still don't know what his point was at the end of that conversation.
That's really funny.
But have you ever heard that before?
No, I love that. That's his starting. Like, you know, this is the part that's established.
Yeah, the part right that let's lock this down in stone, and therefore all the rest of the conversation will be based on this one truth that quote unquote blacks are afraid of snakes and lizards.
You know how Steve Martin killed a guy in Chicago. All right, so.
Oh yeah, the great Martin killing of 2003. Yeah. Anyway, can someone write in and explain that? Maybe JJ could fill us in. I'd like to know if there's any truth to just the stereotype, because I can only say this: of all of the African American friends I've ever had, I don't remember any of them being particularly afraid of snakes or lizards. but I could name you 50 pasty white guys like me who are terrified of snakes.
Right.
So you can't explain that. All right. Brian, there's a concert coming up, and I'd really like to know what's going on. Yeah, what's going on?
Exactly. So, all right. So we know there's a concert coming up here in just a couple, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
The Double Clicks, who were at Denver Comic Con yesterday.
No, did you meet them?
And I never got to see them.
Oh,
no. They were never at their booth when I went by. And then when they had their concert, I think it was around the same time that I had my panel, so I couldn't go see him. Mm. Oh no, it was the day before, and I was already leaving because I had Father's Day dinner planned, so I couldn't go see him. But
happy retro Father's Day, by the way.
Yeah, and to you too.
Thanks, man.
So anyway, up at Nerdtacular, in Salt Lake City, there's going to be a concert with the Double Clicks and the Andrew Allen Trio, right?
Yeah, right.
Established. Sure. We all know that.
Okay.
You know how there's this concert,
yeah,
in Salt Lake City that's got the Double Clicks and the Andrew Allen Trio.
I heard of it.
Anyway, so the next night.
What? Well, whoa,
I
wait.
Take that back. I take that back. No, the next night is Saturday. The night after that.
Oh, even so.
Woo. Sunday night. There'll be another Andrew Allen Trio concert, this time in Las Vegas at a place called The Artifice.
Okay.
And it is it's in the Arts District of Las Vegas, which is kind of between the Strip and downtown.
They spell it weird. It's O-R-I. F-A-S-C-E. Really weird.
It's not the orifice.
It says Vegas. Artifice. I just assumed. I apologize.
Might as well. Yeah. No, this is a really cool. I wouldn't call it a locals bar. It's kind of like this. If you know about it, you know about it. Kind of place that still brings in some tourists, but probably predominantly is like a locals bar. There's a big arts district in Las Vegas, and they have First Fridays down there, and it's a really, really cool area. Very un-Vegas feeling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
And if you know what I mean. So there's this place called The Artifice. The Coverville 777 concert was almost going to be there, but we moved it over to the Beauty Bar, actually, on Fremont Street.
Gotcha.
But The Artifice is really, really cool. Good drinks. And a good venue to see a band, including the Andrew Allen Trio. They'll be playing there July 6th, so the night after Nerdtacular. So Nerdtacular is Friday and Saturday. And then what you do is you just drive down to Las Vegas Sunday and you go see Andrew Allen Trio at the Artifice. And no cover. It's free to get in.
Yeah.
And right before the Andrew Allen Trio, if that wasn't enough, there's a burlesque show.
What?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Let me get straight in my head what that even is. Because to me, that's just a term you hear and you just kind of go, oh, yeah, that sounds body,
right.
You know, big deal. Like something in the 60s, your uncle would go to. Hey,
body.
Check it out. We're going to the burlesque show, right?
Right, right.
What is that nowadays? Is that a nudie deal or is it a...
It's a close to nudie deal, but usually involves like pasties or you know, shimmering halter tops or something like that. There's usually
like
saxophone involved.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, good.
And, you know, the kind of ooga noise, you know, that some instruments make.
All right.
Probably drums.
Yeah.
So that'll be going on right before.
Okay. Well, that's the thing.
Culture. Then they're going to launch into covers of Spider-Man.
Wonderful.
Actually, it's going to be awesome. I think this place, you know, I mean, this place just feels like a jazz club where you would see a burlesque show followed by a jazz band. So
is it smoky and loungy and that kind of stuff?
It's loungy. It's not, it wasn't super smoky when I was there. Of course, you can smoke in public in Vegas, of course, but,
you can get right up in a guy's face and blow it in his face.
You can, and a-holes have done that to me.
Yep, yep.
But it's not so bad. And in this place, you know, I mean, there's adequate ventilation, so you probably don't have to worry about that.
Right, exactly.
it's jazz club in venue, not necessarily in smoky.
Yeah.
How's that?
All right, that sounds good to me. So check it out. That's the 6th of July.
Yes, and big, big, big thanks to James Adams of Same Sex Mary and Svetlana of Same Sex Mary for helping arrange this, helping set this up via proxy.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, hey, where can we get these guys playing? Where can we get these guys playing? And of course, James and Svet did all the legwork to find a place that would work for Andrew.
They do fine legwork, those two.
They do. They do. So that concert will be at 10 o'clock, which means you've got time to go gamble, get an awesome dinner, do whatever, go to the pool, if you, you know, if you leave Snowbird early enough to get some pool time and then go see an awesome show and then go home the next day. Go home on Monday.
I'm looking forward to the next time I hug my mother-in-law and she says, "Who's same-sex Mary? What is that?"
Oh, gosh.
Are you being a good boy?
I think that that's not even something she'd want to, that's not a subject she'll even broach. Right?
No, I'm not even ever bringing that up. All right. Well, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to join why is that playing? That's odd. We're going to call Daryl now, so there's nothing you can do about it. Just sit back and enjoy it. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Is this hailing frequency on? The crew of the USS Odin, NCC 1875, wants you to come aboard and join our chapter of Starfleet, the International Star Trek Fan Association, Inc. Follow us on Twitter at USS Odin. Reference this message in the subject line. You can also check out Starfleet, the International Starfleet Fan Association, Incorporated, at their home site at sfi.org. Hailing frequency close.
Daryl. How you doing?
Yes. Hello.
The man who beeps when you cook him. it's good to talk to you here on the program. Daryl Skeels, of course, is the guy who comes on here every day and does a little Star Trek trivia because we like Star Trek, but we also like the conversation that swirls around it. Yes. Sadly, today, you two are the only taffy eaters because someone cleaned my office and the taffy is missing and I don't know where it went.
Oh, really?
I'm sure it's here.
Cleaned you out of taffy is what they did.
I'm looking around just trying to see if it's somewhere obvious I didn't look, but it's just gone. I don't know what happened. It's so clean here. You guys can't see it on camera, but my desk is just amazing right now. But there is no, it is taffy free. So you guys will have to just tell me what you think. I'll have a cool, refreshing vanilla mint today.
There you go.
Dentist recommended vanilla mint.
Speaking of looking for things.
Yeah.
And losing things. Some great cosplay that I saw this weekend. So it's funny how when you see a rogue, you usually see a Gambit with her.
Always.
Like it's a good couple's costume.
Right.
Probably the best couple's costume that we saw all weekend at Denver Comic Con
was
Waldo from Where's Waldo
and
Carmen Sandiego.
Oh my gosh, that's an awesome combo.
Walking around together.
They belong together.
They do.
Think about that.
It was great.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. Anyway. All right. And the Comic-Con generally went well? I heard it went
well.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. The podcasting panel I was on was really good. Adam Carolla's name only got brought up like 5 times.
Oh, that's all? All right.
So that's good.
Okay,
and,
good.
The question of how to make money in podcasting only came up like 3-4 times.
3,000 times, right?
And how'd you get started in podcasting? That question came up, yeah.
You know, you do get tired of that, don't you?
You know what? I don't mind it. I make up a different story every time.
Yeah? Say,
I was hired by a dude who still wishes to remain anonymous.
Oh, that's good.
My name is not even really Brian Ibbett.
What you do is you just yell fart gas, throw down the mic, and run. Daryl, it's time to do some questions here. It's going to be lots of fun. Loads of fun. It always is. Mondays are good. So let's do this thing here. Today is Captain Picard Day. And it's Picard Week, really. We're going to do a whole Picard Week, all right? Here's the twist, though. So today starts off, the theme of Picard does Badass Shit Week. You hear that, mom-in-law? You hear that? You whisper that in my ear?
Right.
Also, a fun fact, the first time, I love my mother-in-law, I really do. I don't want people going home going, oh man, Scott and his mother-in-law, I don't get along. I get along with her just like I do everybody else. We just are very different human beings. Anyway, also a fun fact that the first time Mike met Daryl, I guess Mike Iceworm, a.k.a. Iceworm.
I remember that movie when Mike met Daryl.
All right, it was not very, it didn't do well.
In the orgasm in the dynasty was awesome, though. I'll have what he's having.
Exactly. This was in 2011. This was at Five Guys on June 16th, which was Picard Day. This can't be a coincidence. Anyway, on to the question, he says. In the Next Generation episode, Captain's Holiday, Picard is forced to take a vacation. I think this is the one just after the Borg experience, wasn't it? Because they made him go on vacation after that.
Right.
Like, look, you were Locutus for like a week. You need to take some time off, buddy.
You know, you got all these weird, you know, square-shaped band-aids on your face, but we're sending you to Ryza. Have fun.
Have fun, buddy. It's the pleasure planet. On this vacation, he meets Vash, as well as an annoying Ferengi. That's like saying the rain was wet today. Picard was Picard at first nicely tells the Ferengi that he is not working with Vash. Later in the episode, Picard gets fed up with the Ferengi and his crap and knocks him out, or knocks him the F out, he wrote. I'm feeling a little saucy here, Ice Worm. What's going on here, buddy? I know. What artifact are both Vash and the Ferengi looking for? They're both looking for the same thing. Is it A, the Jamaharan, B, the Toxuthat, C, the Stone of Gaul, or D, the Horgon?
Horgon.
I'm putting a thing where there is none. So the Jamaharan, the Foxtrot, sorry, the Tot-U-That, the Stone of Gaul, or the Horgon. The Horgon, by the way, has an apostrophe between the A and the H at the end of the word, so if that helps you at all.
Oh, that helps.
Gave it all away. All right, so while you contemplate that, gentlemen, start your taffy, because now...
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We do a little foodie here, so go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Color of the day for me is a very, very light, almost white peach color.
I'm reaching into my bag.
Sound like my face in the mirror.
Ooh, what is this?
Very pale peach.
Yeah.
This is red with a white circle, and inside that white circle is pink.
Okay. That sounds very jaunty and holiday-ish to me.
So pink surrounded by red, surrounded by white.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the inside out of that.
Oh. White surrounded by pink, surrounded by red?
Pink surrounded by white, surrounded
okay.
by red.
So there's a white stripe in the middle between the red
three,
and the pink.
Wrapped by two, surrounded by one.
That's right. Wait.
What was that? That was like some sort of wiring thing.
I don't know.
It was, oh my God, I remember those commercials.
I just started following a Twitter account called at no, just like it's spelled, K-N-O-W. Mm-hmm. And it's all like weird facts and stuff. They got like almost 2 million followers. Anyway, interesting facts like an iPhone 5S has 1,300 times more processing power than the entire computer that landed the Apollo 11 on the moon. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
If humans were capable of hearing frequencies lower than 20 hertz, we would hear our muscles moving. That's kind of cool. Although that would freak me out, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
But then more importantly than that was this one that had something to do with what you just said. Hold on, I gotta find it. Oh, crap.
That's it, easy. There's seven, around two, wrapped by one. What the heck was that? It's like a tire or something, or?
I don't know what that reminded me of this. It's almost exactly what this is. I'm gonna skip down and find it. Come on. What are we doing here? Here we go. Okay, I found it. Nope, I didn't. That's not it. All right, great. Well, that worked out real well. I know rapper Flavor Flav spent $2,600 a day on cocaine for 6 years. That's a fact. But that's not really what I wanted to tell you at all. Ah, damn it. Check this out. Look at this, Daryl. If you had $1 billion, right? And you spent $25,000 a day of that billion, it would take Daryl 110 years to spend it all. That's crazy.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's crazy.
I would love $1 billion.
I just put a link to the video that came from in Skype.
Oh, well, I'll play it then. Because that's
see
what
if
we
anybody
do.
Remembers that. It's really short. Oh, 30
I wish
seconds.
I could find this other quote. It's really going to piss me off now. I know this is terrible podcasting, but I really want to read it. Hold on. One more scroll. One more. Come on, Scott.
Happy.
I'm feeling it, man. I'm feeling it. We're almost there. Oh, I give up. Oh, I can't find it. Screw it. All right, I'm going to play that video. This is where you found... Oh, wait. Is it in our group Skype?
It's in the Skype that... No, it must not be. I think it's in the Skype that you. I replied back to you.
Yeah, I can't play that in here. Here, put that in our main one, will you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. While he does that...
Really?
How was your taffy?
It's good. Mine was a strawberry for sure.
Oh, was it? Mm-hmm. Daryl, what was yours?
Mine was like a cherry squarini type thing.
A cherry squarini?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, cherry's jubilee, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah, probably.
White with pink center and red jacket.
Oh, yes. That was it.
Okay, well, that's annoying.
Skype, that's right. My version of Skype won't let me see the chat anymore, so that's good.
All right. Well, don't worry about
it. Thanks, Skype. You're the worst. All right, Daryl, it's time for a birthday recognition. It's usually somebody in Star Trek celebrating that birthday, unless you are. And you'd tell us if you were, of course. Whose birthday is it? Whose birthday is it and why?
That's Bill Cobbs. He's 79. He played Emery Erickson on the Enterprise episode Daedalus or Daedalus. Mm. And he was the inventor of the transporter in that episode.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's a hell of an invention in the Star Trek lore, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would get as much fame or more probably than the replicator guy or right. What other things?
The holodeck matter? Guy.
Holodeck guy's got to be a big deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all. Everybody loves transporter guy.
I feel like everything else is based on those things. I guess warp drive is a big deal mm-hmm. with your Babe the Pig farmer guy that made that. What's his name? Cochran.
Yeah.
Good for him. Today, more people worldwide suffer from obesity, 1.3 billion, than hunger, 900 million. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right, I'm done with this Twitter account. All right, happy birthday, then.
We should get those two groups together.
We should, right? They should hang out. Learn from each other. Oh, allergies. All right, let's get to the question. Back to the question, Daryl. We got these four options for what they were looking for in this dumb episode. Was it Jamaharon, or however you say that, the Tox Youthat, the Stone of Gaul, or the Horgan?
That was the sex idol thing.
Sex idol.
That was my favorite Simon Cowell show.
It was good, right? Sex idol? It didn't last very long, but...
Didn't, no. Neither did Simon Cowell.
No.
Let's see. And then the Utat?
The Tox Uthat.
Yeah, that thing.
Or Uthat. Uthat.
I think it's that thing.
You think it's that? You think it's the Tox Uthat? Uthat?
Uthat.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's find out if it's that Tox Uthat or not. Is it that?
Congratulations!
It is that.
You're a winner!
Way to go. It is what they're looking for. Picard helps Vash find it, only to destroy the object when some time traveler aliens try to take it. The episode might as well have been called Indiana Picard and the Tox Uthat. Here's a clip of Picard dealing with this Ferengi. He wants me to fast forward on this video because it's a video, so hold on a second. It's 40 seconds. Hold on. We have 420. Okay. There's a Ferengi grinning. Breathing.
A perfect mate for a Ferengi.
You're becoming quite annoying, Silvek.
As are you, human. Perhaps I should kill you and then take the disc.
No, wait. You can have it.
This is so visual, Mike. Oh, he just...
Oh.
Wow. He punched him in the face.
Ooh. Ow.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Ooh. Ah. Nicely done. We kick off Picard Week in style. Daryl did it in style as well because he got the answer correct, and that's good for Daryl. It's good for us. It's good for everyone. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He's the This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and also on the Grumpy Cast or just Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you just lay out the next 5 seconds?
Okay, is this a Star... And it will be, too. Oh, well, now it's not, because okay. I just used that up.
All right.
Star Trek jewelry or type of wood?
All right. Star Trek jewelry or type of wood. There's your theme. Type of wood.
Star Trek jewelry or type of wood?
Yes.
That's really right. Weird. That's really weird. Hey, did you hear black people are afraid of snakes and lizards? Have you heard that? All right.
I heard about
that. Isn't that weird? All right. So, real quick, though, you've never heard that, right? That's not a stereotype you're familiar with. Okay.
I've never heard of that. That's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. All right, go ahead. Give it.
Jinnak.
Jewelry or wood?
Jinnak.
Star Trek jewelry or the other way around?
It's not Star Trek jewelry.
Okay. It's not Star Trek wood. All right.
Or actual wood.
All right.
It sounds familiar, but I think it sounds familiar from a wood standpoint.
I've never heard it ever. I can't even place it. So if you say wood, I'm going to lean with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the captain of this ship. I'll go down with it if we need to. It's fine.
Okay.
Daryl, what do you say?
And you do need to go down with it. It's Klingon jewelry, usually a necklace or pendant.
I can't. Oh. I've fallen in and I can't get up or something. All right. Bye, Daryl. Nice to talk to Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Investing Ideas, a closed group Facebook page where you can share research and ask questions. Whether you're new to investing and need help getting started, or you're experienced and you want a second opinion on a stock pick, just search Facebook for Investing Ideas and request to join today.
All right. Facebook, that's, I'm familiar with that.
Uh-huh. Heard of that thing. Kids, where all the pictures are with the cat memes.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I say kids. It's mostly old people now.
Yeah.
The kids are off on Tumblr these days. That's what I keep hearing, is that Tumblr's the new destination for the sub-16-year-old.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
I watch a certain teenager in this house spend hours
on the Tumblr. Yeah.
On the freaking Tumblr.
Bill Gates just blew our minds with a single tweet, says this headline on the Huffington Post.
All right.
This is kind of interesting. For the past several years, this is all what it's about. China has been building stuff at a mind-blowing pace. Just how mind-blowing? Here, let's let Bill Gates put it into perspective. This is what he tweeted on June 13th. Okay. The most staggering statistic in this new book by Vaclav Smil or whatever is the following. Think about this. From 1901 to 2000. Okay, 1901 to 2000. That's 100 years. Mm-hmm. All right. The U.S. built an entire interstate highway system, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Hoover Dam, and just about all of its skyscrapers in that time. To name just a few concrete intensive things, for example. China did all of that. What took us 100 years, China did all of that and nearly half of that again in 3 years.
Oh, wow.
3 years' time, that much concrete laid for buildings, for structures, for whatever. The point is, Gates is suggesting in his blog that all of this concrete help put the Chinese out of poverty because everybody got, you know, construction work, right? But all of this building has also left China with a huge and dangerous property bubble, massive ghost cities, and empty housing. So, doing a little bit more digging. Ghost cities, Brian. Giant cities erected for no reason. Nobody in them. How cool is that?
That is really cool. Like a ghost town, but a ghost city.
I mean, it seems horribly wasteful and dumb.
Are there little concrete tumbleweeds going across the road?
Clunk, clunk, clunk. Yeah, exactly, dude. I want to go see a Chinese ghost city.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff freaks me out. The idea that like an abandoned... Like there were a couple of towns in, I want to say Arkansas when I was there, that were basically abandoned. And or like, okay, if you see Mythbusters in the last few years, they've had episodes in this abandoned neighborhood that is just a straight up. You look at it from afar, it looks like, oh, it looks like a suburban neighborhood with, you know, cars, driveways, houses, whatever. You get in close, completely abandoned, just nothing there. And they race around in that place for doing tests and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of thing just is so intriguing to me for some reason. I don't know why. It's like Day After Tomorrow, or not Day After Tomorrow. We saw it on Film Sack. What was it called? With the Night of the Comet.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about also the one with the Winnebago that's been outfitted by the Army.
Oh, right. Yeah. That one. The same
Desolation
idea.
Desolation Road.
Yeah. Is that it? Or was that it? Demolition Dirt? I don't know. Yeah, the point is, big empty cities freak me out, and I think they're... That's a very interesting thing. I don't necessarily want to live in it. I'm just saying it's cool. All right, people, keep your emails to yourselves. Here's a little warning for you. How much meat have you eaten lately, Brian? How much beef?
Like today?
Yeah.
None today.
How about yesterday?
I did have a Tina cooked a filet mignon for me last night.
Oh, that sounds
well, for all of us. I mean, we all had. She didn't just like, you know,
not
do one and present it to me on bended knee.
Brian on his wicker chair going, bring me another filet mignon.
That's right. Exactly. So, we've had some recently.
Okay. Well,
I've had some.
I haven't had beef since January of this year.
Okay.
And I'm suddenly glad because listen to this. Mad cow disease... It's all over the place now. It has recalled American Foods meat of over 4,000 pounds in quantity of beef. 4,000 pounds of beef have been recalled by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or the UDA, for fear it has been contaminated by mad cow's disease, some of which was sent to Whole Foods. Oh, good Lord. We like the Whole Foods around here.
I think you mean the USDA.
What'd I say? UDA? USDA, duh. I just should have known that.
The UDA.
The great Uda. Take away our beef Uda.
Don't take the beef Uda. The possibility of infected meat, which is sold in the form of one-in ribeye roasts, made its way to 34
Whole
Foods.
Should be bone-in. That's not your fault. That's the West Side Story. Should be bone-in ribeye roasts.
Oh, yeah. Bone, yeah. I was like, one-in? What the hell is that? I was just going to let it go because I don't know meat. I don't know what's going on with the meat. Made its way to 34 Whole Foods stores in northeastern area of the United States. Also made its way to a restaurant in New York City and a restaurant in Kansas City. That's awful close to you, dude. I'm just saying it's one state over, man. The situation has been labeled by the US today as low risk, a class 2 recall, they call it.
Beef isn't supposed to be black.
Exactly, right? No illnesses have been reported yet, but here's the deal. My understanding of mad cow's disease or mad cow disease, if you eat the stuff, that you may not see, you may have eaten mad cow disease stuff and it takes like 30 years. And then suddenly one day you're having, you know, total neurological breakdown, your brain's exploding and your body can't move right, and you know, you're dead in a week or something.
Right. Can we come up with a better name for
mad cow disease? Don't we have the British to thank for this, because they're the ones that invented it or whatever, because they fed cows each other's brains or something? Wasn't that the deal? I think they were like, hey, what would happen if we fed this old heifer to the next cow next to it? And they basically, it's cannibalism is what it is.
Right.
And
that causes mad cows.
And they eat, if they eat brain tissue, like nerve tissue, then that causes it. And then, anyway, there are videos on YouTube. If you want to see cows with the condition, like the actual cows who suffer from it, that will make you maybe consider never eating beef again.
Really?
Oh, it's horrifying. That piece of business right there.
Yikes.
Don't recommend it. All right. What else we got here? The recalled beef was processed in Fruitland America Meat in Jackson, Missouri. And that seems like a weird name, Fruitland, for a meat packing place. They were packaged between September and April. Both bone-in raw cow ranch ribeye and quartered beef carcasses have been recalled. They both have the establishment number of 2316. So check your establishment number.
Bless you. I know there's a scientific name, and he's saying it's bovine spongiform encephalopathy. But I'd like a better friendly name, like the bird flu. I've never cared for that one. Flesh eating virus is good because that tells you exactly what you're dealing with.
Yeah, swine flu is bad. I don't like that name.
Swine flu, but mad cow disease. Oh no, the cow's mad.
He's gone mad.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like better common names.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so allergistic this year. What is going on? Anyway, what else? Fruitland. Oh, yeah. So they slaughter logs. What? Meat slaughter. What? Fruitland Americans slaughter logs.
No. They're meat slaughter logs.
Oh, they're logs. The captain's log. Got it.
Right.
A meat slaughter
Star date.
Log.
Fruitland date.
Today, we put a mad cow in the group.
More tainted meat fell in the grinder today. Captain.
There are four cases.
Ensign Barclay fell into the meat grinder again.
We here at Fruitland are very sorry. That's it for news, and HelloFresh.com is sponsoring the show. Ah, jeez. You know, this happens every time. It's always a food thing before I get to these guys.
But you know what? It emphasizes how great it is that how much better HelloFresh is for you than the stuff that we talked about in the news right before it, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't take going that low to show you how good HelloFresh is.
That's exactly
right.
Yep.
It certainly doesn't hurt.
I'm going to recommend, though, this week you go with the baked panini. Panini, would you say? Peen? P-E-N-N-E. What's that?
Penne. Oh,
that's a pasta. All right. With chicken sausage. Chicken sausage, red onion, garlic, crushed tomatoes, oregano. Penne. What did you say? Penne?
Penne. Yeah.
I would gladly give you
penne. Penne.
A hamburger for a penne today. Kale, mozzarella cheese, parmesan. Oh, that looks amazing. 35 minutes. You got it. Cooking time is 35 minutes on this custom structured thing. Or how about this? Carne asada tacos with black beans. Steak, lime, tomato, avocado, onion, cumin, cilantro, tortillas. That sounds really good. Seared mahi-mahi. That's also on dock this week. Soy glazed pork. What?
I just laughing. Ironically, I've only typed in the chat room was baked peen. All I needed to lose it.
All right. Baked peen. Nice.
Baked peen based on your pronunciation.
My horrible pronunciation. Asparagus, ricotta, flatbread. Oh, my gosh. All this stuff's killing me. It all sounds really good. And you can make cooking fun again. Order this stuff. It'll be at your house. Farm fresh ingredients at your door. 30 minutes later, you've got a meal. Save 50% off your first time order with the code MORNINGSTREAM. All one word. MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off over there at HelloFresh.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that sounds good right now. It really does. All right.
It does.
What are we doing here? Oh, yeah.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Juicy Melon Jim's music EP, 80s, Volume 1, a five-song collection of retro-futuristic electronic bleakness sung by sentient breakdancing robots. Available on iTunes, Amazon, and all major online music outlets June 17th. That's tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Get the details at juicymelonjim.com.
Nice.
You might also know him as Johnny Feisty.
Johnny Feisty. It's Hunter Talk time. Wait, does he do Hunter Talk? Yeah, that's Hunter Talk, right? Hold on.
It's been a while since I've been able to hear the instance. Well, I figure if I'm not going to play World of Warcraft, I might as well
not
hear
the show no, about hell no. Jeez.
Even though it is the show, so I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to. That's why we do it. Casey Kasem, host of Radio's Top 40. We talked about him last week as all the controversy swirling about keeping him alive and everything. He has died. He has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Age 82. Weekends were never the same after Casey Kasem stopped counting down the American Top 40. This is according to sfgate.com. Mr. Kasem died Sunday at the hospital in Gig Harbor, Washington. Is that Gig or Jig?
Gig Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it GIF or JIF?
It's GIF.
Yes, it is GIF.
No matter what anyone else tells
I don't even care if the guy who invented it, who has come out and said, it's JIF. I don't care what he says.
No. You know what? JIF is peanut butter. GIF is pictures.
You know, I really like, I like a good video game, but I really like it when it has improved graphics. Of course it's GIF. GIF!
Graphic interchange format.
It's not giraffics.
Right.
Jackasses.
Gackasses.
Yes, gackasses. He died at the hospital surrounded by family and friends, although Kasem retired from radio in 2009. Oh, that was recent-ish. Mm. He was frequently in the news in the past several years as his wife, actress Jean Kasem. I'm pretty sure she was... Nick Tortelli's wife on Cheers. Do I have that right?
Oh, yes, right. The she played the ditzy blonde, right?
Yeah, I mean,
she
was. Yeah. Do I have that right?
I think you're exactly right. Yes. Yeah, she always had her hair pulled back.
Mm-hmm, and a big ponytail, and she always talked real light, like, hey, everybody.
Super, super high voice in her acting. Yes, that's exactly.
I'm looking at her right exactly now. That's totally her, dude.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely her.
All right. Yeah, the Tortellis. There she is. That's her.
Yep.
Okay, weird. This is a weird moment for me. I don't know why. She's not really that weird. Let's see. Where was it? She was in the news because he was like blocking the other kids from doing anything. If she was anything like her characters in these shows, she'd be easy to overcome. But apparently she's a little tougher in real life.
I'm sure.
In 2013, his children filed a legal petition for control, alleging that Mr. Kasem was suffering from advanced Parkinson's disease and that his wife was isolating him from friends and family members. Mr. Kasem also suffered from Lewy body disease, which is a form of dementia. That doesn't sound good. Lewy body disease? Ugh.
Not even heard of that.
I don't want that. I know that.
Hmm.
All right. In a game show host news.
Okay. We move from American Top 40 reaching for the stars to... no, the answer is Lumbago.
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 Lumbago. Daily Double Man himself, Alex Trebek, named longest running game show host by the Guinness Book of World Records. He's beaten everybody. Alex Trebek is now a record breaker. The veteran Jeopardy host has been named the longest running host of television show by the Guinness World Records, ABC News reports. The achievement was accomplished on Friday, June 13th, when helming his 6,829th show. To this date, Trebek has reportedly asked 416,569 questions of its guests.
Hmm.
That's a lot.
That is.
The 73-year-old, who has, he looks great for 73, that guy. Man.
Yeah. Are they counting the questions about, you know, where he goes across and says, So tell me about the time you were in a spelling bee when you were 14.
Oh, good point. I wonder if they count that. I don't know. We need some conversation.
Do they have a guy with a clicker sitting off to the sides? That's one. That's one.
And that guy's been doing it for just as long. What year did this start? 84.
Well, wow. That's when he started doing it, because it was Art Linkletter before. Art Fleming.
Art Fleming. Before Art Fleming. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
73-year-old consistently hosted the game show since 84, is currently expected to finally retire towards the end of the 2015-2016 season. The record could and probably will be broken by someone else, said Trebek, according to ABC News. Longtime host was apparently referring to Pat Sajak, the host of Wheel of Fortune, for the last three decades, which airs at the same time as Jeopardy on multiple ABC stations. Since Sajak is also younger at 67 years old, he has more time to break the record. All right. Good luck, Pat.
By the way, and Trilly had pointed this out. I was about to say it, and Trilly had also said this in the tadpole, that he doesn't really ask questions. He gives the answers.
Oh.
It's the contestants.
Good job, contactmusic.com.
Ask the questions.
Did your homework? That's a good point.
We don't really know what the show is. We've heard of Jeopardy, but we've never really seen the show.
It's got that dee-dee-dee music, right?
That's the one, yeah.
That's the one. All right. Well, here's the one. Squarespace.com. Mm-hmm. Squarespace.com. All right, so, dear listener, you're at home and you're going, man, sure like me some Alex Trebek. I want to make a fan site for Alex Trebek, and I want it to have all my favorite photos of him dishing out
post mustache.
Yes, and he's dishing out the answers to the questions he's being asked, to be accurate. Man, mustache or not, what a dude! So why not have a whole site dedicated to him? And you're thinking, I don't want to build that from the ground up. I don't want to like code and learn, you know, SQL Server stuff and MySQL or Cold Fusion or any of that. I don't want to do that. Well, then I got an answer for you. I got the perfect thing. Don't go not doing this site just because of those things. Go to squarespace.com and get all the tools you need in one place and make a website that'll make all your friends go, whoa, talk about the ultimate talk about the ultimate, what's his name? I already forgot. Alex Trebek site. Trebek. I've never seen anything like it. You can do that real good, and you can do it with a free trial. So try it out first. See if you like it. If you do, they don't even ask you for a credit card at that point. You just try it out. Give it a shot. And if you like what you see, if you're happy with how things look on mobile, if you like how the online store tools work, all that stuff kicks in. You're like, man, this is great. I want to do it. How do I save some money? You do it this way. Check out with the code MORNING, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. That's all. Use that at checkout. 10% off. Do it today. Squarespace.com. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have major spoilers here. Talk about a couple things. Before that, music.
All right. So the first one goes out to Adele, not Adele Dazeem, but just Adele, aka Sweetie Toad and the Tadpole. Right. Says, Brian, I hope this email finds you well. In light of the upcoming Father's Day holiday, or the previous, I wanted to request a song for all the fathers out there in the Tadpole and Frog Pants country. I especially wanted to wish my husband, Sean, a happy Father's Day as well. He has been an amazing father to our son, Liam, these 20-plus months, and I know he will also be an amazing dad to our second Tadpole that we're expecting in September. Congratulations, aww, you guys.
Yeah.
I want to thank all of the dads, including the ones who do double duty as dad and mom, and the mothers who are mom and dad in their household as well. I have a couple ideas for songs, but I would like to leave the choice to you, as you're better at this than I am. My only request is that it be positive. There's a whole bunch of songs out there that are negative about fathers. So thanks again to all the dads out there and double duty moms for all you do for your kids. Adele, not Dazeem, a.k.a. Sweeney Toad.
Adele Dazeem.
Got it. Adele Dazeem. Got it.
Adele Dazeem. So we've played, you know, things like Father to Son by Cat Stevens, which is such a great song, but we've played a bunch of covers of that. I want to stay obviously away from Cat in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, because that's not a very good dad song. Yeah. One that I heard recently that I'd forgotten about how much I love is a song called Ooh La La, originally done by The Faces. There was a version that came out a couple of years ago on the Counting Crows album, Underwater Sunshine, or What We Done on Our Summer Vacation, which was an entire cover album that was just fantastic. I saw them tour for that, and it is, they're so great live, and this was such a great album. Covers or not, it was such a great album. I'm an unabashed Counting Crows fan, so
sure.
I'll gush about them for a minute. But this is a great cover of Ooh La La by the Counting Crows. Talks about growing up and taking advice from your grandpa, your granddad, and your dad, and enjoy this. You know, ooh la la, Valley County Girls.
You know what the Lord Commander on the wall has to do a lot of, right? Part of his job.
What does he do? Drop oil?
Counting crows.
Oh, counting crows. Yeah. Oh, of course.
Make sure they're all there. Get a head count of all the crows. Get it, everybody. Get it.
I get it.
I didn't see the finale yet, so everybody out there, shut the hell up. I haven't watched it yet. I've read the book, so I kind of have an idea. But
all right, well, hold on. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I'm going to describe it like Mario Kart.
Okay,
all right,
go.
So there's this Mario. Okay, so imagine there's a smaller, I don't know, like a midget racer Mario Kart.
Okay.
All right, and there's a.
Wow.
I'm not going.
All right. You're not going to go there? Okay.
I'm not
going to. I do know about one moment. It's got to have happened because the end of that book is.
There were a lot of moments in the episode last night.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. All right. And I got a cool thing to tell on the other end about how to check out the final two books of Game of Thrones. Of Fire and Ice. Ice and Fire. I'll explain that in a minute. Here it is. Ooh la la. We'll be back in a minute with Schleicher, your emails, and more. Stay tuned.
She's fast asleep, leaves you twinkling with the stars. I say, hey, poor young grandson, there's nothing I can say. You have to learn it just like me, and that's the hardest way. I know.
And more smokers are discovering this every day. Actual figures show Fatima has more than doubled its smokers coast to coast.
So enjoy Fatima yourself.
The long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make it extra mild.
You will prefer Fatima's much different, much better flavor.
You will agree.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
The best of all long cigarettes.
This is the Morning Stream. The hell you say?
Fatima people are really trying to convince you there at the end that this is the cigarette you'll buy. You will buy more cigarettes. All right, we're back. I also like Cannon Crows. It's good stuff to hear. The 90s were rife with them.
They were, yes.
I long for the 90s. I like the 90s. The 90s were good.
Yeah.
It's the 2000s, I think, were a little lame. I mean, it was fine from a, you know.
No, I'm with you.
Musically, I just mean, you know, it's kind of boring. What the hell happened there? What was going on? You know it had talent. All right, let's call Brian. No. His name isn't Brian. His name's Steven. You're Brian.
Right.
You might be familiar with yourself. All right, Steven Schleicha. Let's bring him in. He's, you know, what's he got doing? What's he doing? You know he's got talent. Oh my gosh, it's you. It's you. Hold on. I got a theme for you, dude. Hold on. Here you go. Okay. Ready? Here goes.
Yes.
There you go. It's Steven Schleicher, everybody. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Good, man. Are you excited for a couple weeks from now? You excited?
Oh, yes. Always. It's going to be a blast. I just hope I don't have to sing.
Yeah, you know. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Actually, I hope the audience doesn't have to hear me sing.
The audience hopes you don't have to sing.
I guess exactly. Who's supposed to pick that per team? Am I in charge of that on my team?
You're supposed to discuss it as a group. You know, you've got each other's emails. You can talk with each other. Oh. Who are on your teams?
Me
I can't remember.
Patrick and Justin Robert Young.
For me, it's Old Man Franks, Dunaway, and Nicole.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Nicole's definitely singing on your team.
Wait, how can you have four and I have three?
You have four too, Scott. You have a fan, a listener.
Oh, a listener dude. Yeah. Right. Wait, so Steven doesn't have a listener dude on his team?
He does. That's who Old Man Franks is.
Oh, duh. Okay. You know, I'm new here, so.
Do you need me to break down the fact that Old Man Franks is B-list?
Don't let me.
Do I need to emphasize that?
No offense, Old Man Franks. All right. So Steven's here, like he often is and almost always is, on Mondays to talk about the world of pop culture, comics, and more. And I'm still kind of scratching my head about the top line here, which is Steve Jackson Comics is the thing.
Yeah. So over at Origins, what was an event that took place over the weekend, a gaming event, Steve Jackson Games announced that they're going to be doing a monthly comic book with Boom Studios that will launch. I think it's going to come out in probably October.
Okay.
I think is when it is. We're still waiting for the official announcement from Boom Studios. But that was kind of leaked and announced maybe a little bit earlier than they wanted to. I don't know. But they did say that it was coming out, and they've been in the process of trying to get a comic book together since 2008 and 2009.
Wow. So we're talking like Munchkin stuff, or what's the plan?
You know, like how do the Munchkins end up down in the dungeon kind of stuff? You know, they've got comic books out based on Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder, and so I guess if you're going to take a humorous take on the dungeon crawl experience, why not Steve Jackson Games?
Mm. So is John doing the art? Do we know?
We don't know about that either. That's the other thing that'll be interesting. I would love to see John Kovalik do the art in the piece, just because it's so iconic for that series. And if they've got, you know, somebody else, if they've got Alex Ross doing the Munchkin comic art, it's going to look really, really weird.
Oh, you should at least do like an alt cover, though, that or something.
Would be, well, knowing Boom and knowing some of the groups that they work with, some of the artists, they could have some very cool artists come in and do some variant covers for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's really cool. I talked to John here and there, and he hasn't said anything about this. But
yeah, he posted something shortly afterwards, after it was announced, and then he's kind of been mum on the project. So.
Hmm. All right. Well, mum as he may be, it's exciting stuff for those guys. I mean, that Munchkin really put the Steve Jackson way up on the on the top, didn't
they? Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got a whole bunch of stuff. They announced three things total over the weekend. And then they've got a couple of other things that they're being quiet about yet still that they that apparently they have housed in their warehouse down in Atlanta. I know that there's an Adventure Time Munchkin coming out, but they haven't announced the release date of that yet. And then they've got a couple of new Munchkin Legends sets that are coming out in July and August.
Right.
So people, fans of that card game, need to go check it out.
That sounds cool. I'm into the expansion of these guys. That's great. We like those guys. Yeah. It gives you guys more stuff to talk about, too, on your show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. There are a lot of games from Steve Jackson Games that people can sit down and play. Some of them are very easy to just pick up. I enjoy Zombie Dice, which is a lot of fun. There's another one, Cthulhu Dice, which is a lot of fun, too. So people can go pick those up, play real quick games.
Yeah. By the way, Munchkin Land, a podcast that Stephen produces and is fantastic. You guys should check it out if you haven't already.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The WB, Warner Brothers, the brothers Warner, are planning to announce 8 DC comic movies over the next 4 years. Or do they? I mean, and is this the most like Marvel-like move in the history of ever? Like, my gosh, are they playing catch-up or what?
Well, I think that they're playing catch-up, and I think everybody guessed that DC Comics was going to have to do something if they were going to continue to compete. We knew that the Batman versus Superman movie was coming out, and we knew that it's not really Man of Steel 2. It's Batman versus Superman... something daylight, twilight, I don't know.
What is it? Something of the heroes?
Something origins. I forget what the final tag is.
Whatever it is.
But they've got that
super
coming out.
Memorable, though, whatever it is.
It's coming out in May of 2016. And then Nikki Fink over at her newly launched website, NikkiFink.com, she's got this rumor that she's stating as fact, and she's got a lot of inside information, that at the San Diego Comic-Con, not only are they going to talk more about Batman versus Superman and the Justice League movie, but they're also going to announce a Shazam movie. They're going to announce the release date for the Joseph Gordon-Levitt Sandman movie.
Yeah.
They're going to announce the date for a Wonder Woman movie, the Man of Steel 2 movie, and Flash and Green Lantern team-up movies, all at the San Diego Comic-Con.
How are they screwing this up and not doing Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the role he's supposed to be, which is Nightwing? Why are they not doing a Nightwing movie?
Well, that hasn't been announced yet.
But he was Robin, damn it. Spoilers, everybody.
I think at this point it's okay for us to say.
I'm going to talk about that one freely. In the last Batman movie, he was Robin, and it wasn't revealed till quite toward the end. He'd be a perfect Nightwing. What are they doing? Yeah.
Well, we don't know what's going on. We do know that they're going to be rebooting a Batman franchise soon, especially with Ben Affleck as Batman in the Batman versus Superman movie.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't think he's playing Sandman, but he has it's kind of like his pet project that they're going ahead with. And then couple this with all of the DC Comics television series that are coming out. We've got Arrow, we've got The Flash that's coming up, we've got Constantine, and if you've seen the new trailer for Constantine, it looks like they've got there's a Dr. Fate reference in there. And so this could be building to a Justice League Dark type event, which for years was rumored that Guillermo del Toro, whose name I can't pronounce.
You did it just great. I think that sounded fun. I like the fact that you slowed it down and did it funny actually kind of nailed it. Nicely done.
But he's wanting to direct a Justice League Dark movie. So DC, I mean, Warner Brothers really kind of has a lot of fingers in the pot.
Yeah.
I think that just their hesitancy and the major changes that are going on just a couple of years ago with the new president of entertainment, I forget what her name is at the moment, but she came in. Then, of course, you've got all your co-publishers, Jim Lee, Dan DiDio, and Jeff Johns, who's your chief creative officer. That change, and now the fact that DC is picking up everybody out in New York and plopping them in California, has really caused some kind of disarray in them getting a lot of these movies out.
Yeah.
And then I guess the thought that, nobody's interested in seeing a female hero movie. No one's interested in seeing some of these second tier characters. Look how Green Lantern went, so on and so forth.
Right.
I think has made them a little gun shy.
Yeah.
Though, you know, their CW series have been really great.
Yeah, and they've been, Arrow is much improved. Doing really well and kicking it in the ratings. And yeah, I mean, there's got stuff going on. And here's the thing. I've gotten emails to the effect that, hey, Scott, quit complaining about, you know, you're such a Marvel fanboy and all you do is talk smack about how DC is just copying Marvel now or whatever. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is two things. One, they are playing catch up, whether you like it or not.
Right, exactly.
That is what they're doing. But number two, they have to. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying they need to do this. They have to play catch up. And if they want their characters to remain iconic as they have always been in the past, it has always sort of been, yeah, Marvel's great, Marvel's cool, but Superman, Batman, the Justice League, Wonder Woman, these are big deals, and they are kind of the biggest of deals. Well, they are quickly not being as big a deal anymore. And they have to be on this thing like stink on poo.
I think what's interesting when you look at this is when you look at the release date, starting in May of 2016, Batman versus Superman, July of 16 is Shazam, Christmas of 2016 is Sandman, May of 2017 is Justice League, July of 17 is Wonder Woman, Christmas of 17 is the Flash and Green Lantern team up, and May of 18 is Man of Steel 2. If you take out Sandman, because that's not really part of, I mean, it is part of DC, but it's more of the Vertigo side of comics. If you take that out, man, they are building up a huge potential to have these movies just tie one right into the other.
Right. Yeah. And they can, and if they're good, it'll be great.
A giant mega movie. So if you do that, you've got six movies that make a giant mega movie that then culminates with the Man of Steel 2 and whatever else they have coming on after that.
Just need to make it as good as the lead ups to Avengers, what Marvel did. They just need to be good. They don't need to be earth shattering amazing. They just need to be good enough.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy, you know.
Kind of tying into the fact that you've been playing catch up, according to Nikki Fink, she was saying that a lot of the reason why DC and Warner Brothers are so far behind Marvel is because they've really been working out these contracts to get these people locked in for not just three picture deals, but four and five and six motion picture deals.
Right. Yeah.
So that's been part of the hang up.
Well, the whole thing's fascinating. Be really curious to see how it all pans out in the end, I'd really like to see DC be a bigger player, because they really do have these iconic things. Len, you're a longtime DC fan. You know what I mean, what I'm getting at here. And for all their dips and goofs and strange new logo designs and everything else they do that seems like counterintuitive, there's always these, especially these two characters. I mean, Batman is forever Batman.
Right.
And you own the coolest thing ever made. He's the coolest hero ever. Oh. Well, yeah. He owns all the cool stuff. Oh, speaking of which, the Batmobile and Lucius Fox. Update on the Morgan Freeman update here real quick. Beep, 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 beep. Another fan is in Mississippi. Went to Morgan Freeman's restaurant. He owns one down there. And Morgan Freeman was in the restaurant.
Try the arugula salad.
It's very it's delicious. Good. That was the last time he ate that salad. So he was in there, and he was going to go up and talk to him, and because we still need confirmation that he listens to TMS, because that's the big rumor, you know. Anyway, the guy was meeting with a judge, or no, I'm sorry, with a the mayor there of the town, and he couldn't do it, but he got a photo. So I'll send that around on Twitter later today. But he got a photo of Morgan Freeman sitting in his own thing, one step closer to finding out if Lucius Fox does indeed listen to the Morning Stream. All right.
Very cool. Very cool.
Steven, anything else in your world going on?
I don't know. I've been so busy. Did you guys talk about some of the E3 stuff that came out last week? There's from the PlayStation Network, they're taking the Marvel series by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael A. Von Oeming. The Powers series is going to be an exclusive over at the PlayStation Network for people that are members over there.
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of cool.
We talked a ton about the game side of E3, but we did not talk at all about that. You're right. And they came out and made a big announcement about that. Some in my gamer circles were all like, oh, whatever. I want to hear about games. Why are they showing us this? But I'm interested. That's a cool series. It seems,
Well, I think the bigger thing is the fact that Xbox and PlayStation, Microsoft and Sony are both saying, hey, here's a viable, if Netflix can do it and if Amazon can do it, why can't we jump on board and create our own original series and put them out for our Gold members or our PlayStation Plus Network members and create some kind of draw there? Right. So I think that's really kind of cool. Now, you know, will this series be as good as if it was greenlit for the FX network, which is what they were originally trying to get Powers on? I don't know, but they're right in the middle of recasting everybody and getting it geared up for production. And I believe we will see that launch in, I want to say December of this year, right about the time everyone's annual membership runs out for the PlayStation Plus network.
Yeah, that's about right, right?
It'll come out in, I think it's December 20th or something like that. It's like right at the end of everyone's subscription if they got it for the holidays.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to pay for it if you want the individual episodes. But if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you will get the you'll get those new episodes for free.
Oh, good. Well, I'll get those for free then because I like Plus a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love Powers is great. So if they can do well with this, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Steven, another form of update here. Steven posted on Twitter. We were talking about the ghost cities of China, Brian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He sent this link that's on Gizmodo's, and the headline is, "Welcome to the world's largest ghost city, Ordos, China."
Mm-hmm.
This is posted back in March, and it looks like this
it's pretty crazy.
This is crazy. Built for over 1 million people, mm-hmm. and it's empty?
Yeah, only about 2% of the people. There's only 2% of the available spaces are filled. So it's not like the town is completely empty.
Yeah.
It's just 2% of 1 million people is what, 20,000?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So there's like 20,000 people that live in a city built for 1 million people. So I think your commute to work is going to be relatively easy.
Oh my gosh, there's hardly the traffic is like two cars.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's beautiful though.
It is a great, I mean, it's a great looking city. They've designed it. And apparently there are a lot of cities like that in China. I know years ago you guys were talking about the World of Warcraft park, theme park that somebody in China had ripped off.
Yeah.
You know, that apparently is like a ghost amusement park because they built it up very rapidly and so few people attend theme parks like that it's all over the place, especially out in West China.
What is this?
In Mongolia.
What a strange phenomenon. I'm looking at these buildings and some of these are gorgeous, beautiful buildings and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That airport is phenomenal and it's like, there's one person walking through the whole scene.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me. I don't know why that's so fascinating to me that you could, like, it seems like it's usually a city responds to the population growth, not the other way around.
And I think I don't know the reason why, but I can assume that it's trying to get people out of the mass population centers and get them to move out to other places without having to worry about urban development because it's already been developed.
Yeah.
And so people could just pick up from Beijing and move there and have jobs and offices and living space all ready to go. But that just isn't how it worked.
Wow. All right.
It's one of those Field of Dreams theories that failed.
Yeah. That's crazy. You build it, they don't show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. Steven, anything else going on in your world that you'd like people to know about before we let you go?
Major Spoilers is growing every day, and we thank everybody who is supporting us, and we hope that more podcast listeners and Frog Pants listeners come over and check us out.
Absolutely.
And we love having more people.
Yeah, you guys are great. Majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter. All the shows are found everywhere on iTunes and such, but you can find all the links and everything you need over at Major Spoilers, and I recommend all of them. They're all good.
Have a week, everybody.
Steven, very excited to see you next, or a couple of weeks from now, 2-3 weeks,
yep,
whatever it is.
Definitely.
Stay out of trouble, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya. Where's his hangout? There it is. I'm going to be on his panel about kickstarting.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think I may sit, I may watch that one. Because I'm not a guest on that one.
Right.
But I will see it.
You can eat something while you watch
it. Yeah, I probably should eat at some point during the festivities. Okay, let's see. And if I was a drinker, I could drink booze I bought on the premises, not you brought up with me.
Right.
Right? Right. Everyone got that? Leave your beer at home. that's it for today's thing with him, but we're not done yet. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring the stuff we're going to do next, and they do it with their 5 great styles, 7 great colors of amazing earbuds and audio accessories. Go check them out today for a lifetime warranty and 33% off. Use the code STREAM at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. All right, now we're going to do emails, and they're brought to you by...
by maniacalindustries.com, where we put the funny into science. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Get your iBrain Science Skeptic Resistance is Futile or Binary Pirate t-shirt today for only $16 with free shipping in the U.S. Visit maniacalindustries.com today.
Hey, Scott, wanted to write in, and this is Tina, not your Tina, different Tina.
Not Brian's Tina.
No, not Brian's right. Tina.
We do not buy Tita.
We do not exchange emails.
She ain't buy Tita.
Nope. I wanted to write and thank you, first of all, for all you do. I love the Frog Pants community. Of course, the podcast. Wanted to share with you the big impact they've had on my life. Over 4 years ago, I was working at an animal shelter. The employee turnover there could be rather high at times, so I usually didn't pay much attention to newbies outside of showing them the ropes. They probably wouldn't stick around long anyway. All right. I was taking a break at the front desk, talking to a coworker when I noticed an iPod laying on the counter. I figured it would probably be the new guys. Being bored, I decided to see what kind of stuff he listened to. Oh, yeah. Lo and behold, there was the instance. Not only was this guy a fellow WoW player, but he also listens to my favorite podcast. What are the odds?
Nice.
From there, I struck up a friendship. He transferred his characters to my WoW server. We still play together quite a bit. He even joined my raid team. We were best of friends for 2 years, even during his six-month deployment to Kuwait. Eventually, we both decided we liked each other a bit beyond just being friends, and we started dating. 2 years later, that guy who listened to the same podcast as me asked me to marry him. We both continue to share love for Frog Pants shows, primarily TMS these days, and I wonder if any of you, or if any of it ever would have happened had the instance not been on his iPod that day to prompt us to talk about something other than work. Thank you so much for all you do. My new fiance Daniel and I both look forward to continuing to have your shows as part of our daily routine, even as we move into the next chapter of our lives. Tina, that is an awesome story.
That's very cool.
Isn't that great?
That's awesome. Wow.
Yes, I'll take credit for your coming together. Not a problem. You're welcome. Congrats, you guys. That's totally, totally rad. I may read that email at Nerdtacular. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Spoiler.
Sorry, spoiler. Michael wrote in, says, "Dear Sherman and Blitzkrieg, it was fun fun listening to Scott talk about the show The Pacific. I love that as well. It also holds a special significance for me. My grandfather was a staff sergeant for the U.S. Army stationed in Papua New Guinea during the time of that show, or the time and place, I guess. He was in the first group of five men to be drafted from his town of Pennsylvania, and I still have a clipping from the local newspaper with his name. While on leave in Australia, he met my grandmother. After the war, she migrated to the U.S. and they got married. That's interesting because in that movie, there's a story of a U.S. soldier on leave in Australia meeting a girl and then getting married later. Movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, weird. Okay.
When she came to the U.S., she spent 3 weeks on a ship that docked in San Diego. She took a train across the country to Pennsylvania. When she got off the train, there was a miscommunication about her arrival date, so no one was there to pick her up until the following day. Sadly, my grandfather passed away in 1984, and I was only 9. He told us a few stories, but I feel the Pacific gives me a good idea of what he might have experienced. Love the show, Michael. Yeah, I agree. Pacific's rad. If you guys haven't seen it, it's totally worth seeing. I'm almost done with Band of Brothers, which I've seen already, but I'm watching it for the second time. And cool. Then I'll watch things like The Wire and stuff I've never seen. Okay? Relax, everybody. Relax. Hi, Scotty and Brainy. Briany? Brainy?
Brainy. Brainy.
I'll say Brainy.
Brainy. Oh, Briany. I'm so Briany. Come on.
Just catching up on TMS. Overheard you talking about assigned seats in movie theaters. Okay. I live in Boulder, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And can confirm that we do have assigned seating at least one movie theater in this great state. It's the AMC Flatirons Crossing in 14 in Bloomfield. You know where that is? Or Broomfield?
Broomfield, yes. I know exactly where that is. They also have, did he say recliners? It's funny. It's like they've got assigned seats and freaking recliners.
Yeah, which is cool.
It's cool, but holy cow. I mean, I have a hard time sometimes staying awake in movies if I don't get enough sleep the night before.
Good point.
Put me in a recliner. It's like the only movie I've seen there since they had the recliners was World War Z. And there were a couple parts where it was a little slow and a little slow. Quiet.
And the D-Box chairs that shake all the time? You'd think that would keep you up, but that actually kind of puts me to sleep.
Right. It's like getting gently rocked, isn't it?
Massaged. It's nice. Let's see here. If I travel just outside Boulder just to go there, they have large recliners and you can even get overpriced beer to go with your overpriced popcorn. Just to be sure, or just make sure to make your reservation well in advance as the recliners take up a lot of space. So the movies don't have as many seats as a normal theater would and they sell out quick. Love the show, Evan.
Yeah, definitely got like 48 seats in that theater.
Yeah, I wonder.
Something like that.
So almost all the Utah theaters now do the assigned seating. All those in Salt Lake, I should say. I don't even go. I don't even know what it's like to go to a theater that doesn't do that anymore. So to me, this is the norm, and it would freak me out to do otherwise. That's it for that. That's it for emails. You guys can send your own to themorningstream@gmail.com. Short and sweet is the trick. They'll always get on the show if they're like that, and they're interesting. So please send them our way, themorningstream@gmail.com. While I'm at it, frogpants.com/TMS is our website. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. That's it. That's a show. We're ending right on time today, man.
I know. Crazy.
I love that. Let's go out in style. You got music for me?
Which is good because today is big secret identity day. Today is the last day for me to get everything else to the disc manufacturer, which I did this morning.
Did the printer or did the font work out? Font's good.
Font worked out great. Okay. And I had to make one small change because I put Avengers instead of the Avengers for the movie. So I'm hoping to get that fixed. Yeah. That's minor. If that's the only thing I can find that's wrong with it, then
yeah. You're missing a the big deal.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
So that's going to help us get everything together in time for an Artacular, which for a while we weren't thinking we were going to be able to do. So that,
deal.
That makes
that's
me
awesome.
Really happy.
Yep.
All right. So Mark emailed in.
Yeah.
Said, hi, Boss Spearman and Charlie Waite. My apologies for this late request, but with Father's Day being celebrated this weekend, I recall hearing the song My Old Man by Steve Goodman a few years ago. I'm not too proud to say that I can't make it through listening to the song without getting tears in my eyes. Aww. This song helped me get through the tough times when my dad and I were not getting along with each other by reminding me that underneath all of the yelling and fighting, there was still love. I would love it if I could convince you on this special occasion to play Steve Goodman's original version. But if you would rather play a cover, please play the version by his daughter, Roseanne Goodman, from her tribute album to him. If it's too late for TMSPM this week, please play someday early next week if possible. Happy Father's Day to both of you. Best regards, Mark Tudor from New York. Uncle Mark, when he can get into the tadpole. G.I. the Joe, yo. Love it.
That was a good one.
All right, we're going to go with the original. We'll do the original version. Boy, I've been breaking the rules a lot lately. So
yeah,
you bet nobody else better ask me for this for a while. All right, people? Yeah. I hope you're listening out there. This is a little bit of a tearjerker. And so, you know, have a hanky ready. This is Steve Goodman. I pulled this version from his album, No Big Surprise. Actually, it was a greatest hits album. By the way, folks who aren't familiar with Steve Goodman probably are familiar with his song City of New Orleans, which was a big hit for Arlo Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, America. How are you?
Yeah, I know that one.
That one. And he also did some songs about the Cubs and the fans and stuff like that. And they still actually play one of his songs at the end of each Cubs game, and I can't remember what it is. Go Cubs Go, maybe?
Oh, all right.
At every game. He's long since passed. He died in 1984. Steve Goodman did. Oh. All right. This is My Old Man by Steve Goodman, going out to Mark Tudor from New York, and of course, all the other dads and moms have to play both roles out there.
All right. Well, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show, and should have Chin Beard, should have Jury, and should have a lot of fun. I'm
should
excited
be.
About it.
Should be.
Should be. Could be. Here it is. It's My Old Man. See you guys then.
I miss my old man tonight, and I wish he was here with me, with his corny jokes and his cheap cigars. He could look you in the eye and sell you a car. That's not an easy thing to do, but no one ever knew a more charming creature on this earth than my old man. He was a pilot in the big war, in the U.S. Army Air Corps, in a C-47 with a heavy load full of combat cargo for the Burma Road. And after they dropped the bomb, he came home and married Mom. And not long after that, he was my old man. The fights we had when my brother and I got him mad. He'd get all boiled up, and he'd start to shout, and I knew what was coming, so I tuned him out. And now the old man's gone, and I'd give all I own to hear what he said when I wasn't listening to my old man. I miss the old man tonight. I can almost see his face. He was always trying to watch his weight, and his heart only made it to 58. For the first time since he died, late last night I cried. I wondered when I was gonna do that for my old.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Working overtime means smoking overtime.
Yeah, it does. Jeez.